If you would turn now to Luke chapter 23. Reading verses 32 through 43. That can be found on page 884 of the Pew Bible. Page 884. Luke chapter 23, verses 32 through 43. This is the word of the Lord. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. Was also an inscription over him, This is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. This man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This is the word of the Lord. Do not despair. One of the thieves was saved. Do not presume. One of the thieves was damned. This saying has long been attributed to Augustine. But whether spoken by him or not, it is an elegant summary of our passage. We are wont to speak of the thief on the cross. But our passage speaks of the thieves on the cross. It is a tale of two criminals, not one. One in which they share a common life and a common death. But one in which they do not share a common end. In fulfillment of the scriptures, Christ was numbered with the transgressors. And so he was crucified with malefactors. He was crucified with criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And above him was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." When we think of a king being lifted up with a man at his right hand and another at his left, we think of a king enthroned in glory. As when James and John said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left." What does Jesus say to them? "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am to be baptized?" Truly, they did not understand. For here we see the cup that he had to drink. Here we see the baptism with which he had to be baptized. This cup was a cup of wrath. His baptism is a baptism of death. Here we do not see our King enthroned in glory. Yet here we see the glory of our King. For here we see Christ bearing the sins of his people. Here we see him as the servant of all. It is for this reason that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But those who watched him did not understand. Those who surrounded him scoffed at him. His own people reviled him. He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, if he is his chosen one. I could not conceive that God would allow his chosen one to suffer. They could not imagine that God would allow his Christ to die. But they could not imagine a Christ of weakness. They only desired a Christ of power. Likewise, the soldiers mocked him, for they too were respecters of power. How could they respect a king who died in weakness? How could the King of all the earth die forsaken and alone? So they offered him sour wine to drink. It was not an act of kindness. It was not an act of mercy. was an act of cruelty. It was an act of malice. Psalm 69, verse 21. Reproaches have broken my heart so that I am in despair. I looked for pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst, they gave me sour wine to drink. The death of Jesus was without mercy. The death of Jesus was without kindness. The death of Jesus was without compassion. This is why he came. He did not come to be admired. He did not come to be served. He did not come to be pitied. He came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So it was that he was numbered with the transgressors. And so it was that he was crucified with criminals. Here we do not see our Lord enthroned in glory. But here we do see the Lord of glory. This is why we read in verse 39 that one of the criminals blasphemed him. Your translation might read, one of the criminals railed at him, which is a fine translation. But it obscures something of Luke's purpose in reminding us that though Christ was numbered with the transgressors, he himself was not a transgressor. Though Christ was numbered with the guilty, he himself was innocent. He was blameless. He was pure. He was holy. It was not his own sins that held him there, but ours. So it was that this criminal blasphemed him, the Holy One of God. It also obscures Luke's purpose in reminding us of who Jesus really is. To malign Jesus is to blaspheme him. To malign him is to blaspheme God. One of the criminals blasphemed him, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." Now we may wonder why one who blasphemes the Christ would then expect the Christ to save him. Perhaps this criminal was an insurrectionist. Perhaps he was a revolutionary. The text does not say. But whatever the case may be, whatever was in his mind, this criminal's understanding of the Christ and his salvation, it reflects the understanding of those who opposed Jesus. According to this understanding, understanding salvation is a rejection of the cross. To be saved is to be delivered from the cross. For Christ to have saved himself would have been for Christ to come down from the cross. For Christ to save others would be for Christ to keep them from the cross. But that was not Jesus' understanding of what it meant for him to be the Christ. That was not his understanding of the salvation that he wrought. For Jesus to be the Christ required not that he avoid the cross, but that he embrace it. Salvation for himself and for his people required that he endure the cross. For Jesus, this salvation did not mean that his people could then avoid the cross. It did not mean that his people could be kept from the cross. It required that they also embrace it. That they follow him to the cross. They follow him to the grave. This is what we see with the other thief. The other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." This criminal does not question the truth of who Jesus is. He recognizes him for who he is. He acknowledges him to be blameless. He confesses him to be righteous. He does not despise the suffering servant. Instead, he honors him. He does not reject the cross. Instead, he embraces it. He does not seek a salvation apart from the cross. He seeks salvation through the cross. It is to Christ upon the cross that he says, "Jesus, Savior, remember me when you come into your kingdom." How great was this man's faith? To see what no one else did. To see the power that lay beyond the weakness. To see the dominion that lay beyond death. To see the glory that lay beyond the suffering. And just as the one criminal's blasphemy was an acknowledgement of who Jesus really was, so also this criminal's request is an acknowledgement of who Jesus really is. Throughout the Old Testament, the request, "Remember me," is always spoken to the Lord. As in Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 31, "Remember me, O my God, for good." And so it is here. Jesus, remember me, my God and my Lord. And yet this criminal has done nothing good. He does not ask to be remembered for his goodness. He has just acknowledged that he is not good, that his condemnation is just. How great then was his faith? To see what no one else did. To see in the sufferings of Jesus the mercy of his Lord. To see in the death of Jesus his willingness to be gracious. This criminal seeks entrance into the kingdom of God the only way one can, by God's grace. By God's grace through repentance and faith. What does Jesus say? "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." His grace is greater than our sin. His merit is greater than our guilt. His blood is greater than our defilement. If you doubt the mercy of God, if you doubt the grace of Christ, if you question whether he is willing to save, if you wonder whether your sin is too great, consider what Jesus says to this man. This man who lived his life as a criminal. This man who only at the very end of his life repents and calls upon Christ's name. To one so unworthy, to him he says, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Christ unites this criminal to himself. My death will be your death. My fate will be your fate. My glory will be your glory. My life will be your life. We see this criminal crucified with Christ. And so we will see him raised with Christ. Do not despair. One of the thieves was saved. But do not presume. One of the thieves was damned. There were two thieves on the cross. There were two who were crucified with Christ. But only one was truly united to Christ. And this is a warning not only to the world, it is also a warning to the church, to those who have been baptized into Christ. One can belong to the church outwardly, but not belong to the church inwardly. One can be baptized outwardly, crucified outwardly, but not be united to Christ inwardly. We are not to presume upon the mercy of God. Should not presume upon the grace of Christ if we refuse to repent, if we refuse to believe. This is not a call to doubt. It is a call to repentance and faith. Do not presume. But do not despair. However great your sin, however long it has taken, call upon his name. And rest assured, you will be with him in paradise. Praise be to God for the Christ he gave.